WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Betty Davis has survived a stroke and a mastectomy. She's 81, and when the Lincoln Center Film Society decided to honor her with a gala tribute, she said it was about time. Thousands flocked to see her. The moussed coiffures were high, and there was a sea of black ties. When Davis appeared in a clinging sequined gown, the crowd went wild. Then the lights dimmed for a screening of clips, and we had a chance to assess her power. From the beginning of her career, she is having fun. She loves the attention of cameras and concocts flashy performances to hold them. The huge eyes look askance and the whites flash. Cigarettes dart in and out of her mouth. The shoulders sway, the hips bob, the hands nervously drum the hips. Her tongue slices the English language into unique rhythms. Listen to this stab in All About Eve.
Yeah, so that was the first and last...
Don't let me kill the point. There isn't it a story for grown-ups?
You've heard it. About the time I looked through the wrong end of the camera finder.
Remind me to tell you about the time I looked into the heart of an artichoke. I'd like to hear it. Some snowy night in front of the fire.
And yet Davis is not vain. Compare her to some contemporaries. Claudette Colbert cannot stop flirting. Joan Crawford goes into mortal combat with the aging process. Katharine Hepburn tries unconvincingly to cloak her vanity behind the bluster that she's above petty human traits. Davis is never above being human. In all of her films, she presents a scrapbook of Freudian cases. The Hollywood powers didn't at first know what to do with her, although they saw that her energy and intelligence were a box office draw. They weren't adventurous enough to show a powerful woman serving herself and the world well, so they made her riotously destructive. Remember her in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Oh, you're trying to help, Blanche. What are you planning to do with me when you've sold the house? What you have in mind, some nice little place where they could look after me?
The Davis persona cuts to shreds the fantasy of women as kinder than men, but she sometimes has to depict false emotions. She's too pitiless and shrill on occasion, and in several Weepers, where she plays against type, her parts are mired in sticky sentiment. She pulls off the scenes in Dark Victory, where her character chooses to die alone, but the pointless self-sacrifice, which underscores old-fashioned ideas about female virtue, lacks emotional truth. Rarely did Davis get parts as complex and credible as Margot Channing, the central figure in All About Eve. This is a woman who is neither gargoyle nor saint, and whose ambitiousness and vulnerability Davis reveals with startling originality. Boldness and courage keep marking her performances. In The Wails of August, where she looks very old and frail, she offers close-ups not only on her own condition, but human mortality. At the tribute, Geraldine Fitzgerald told an anecdote about herself and Davis traveling across country. They are pals on the road. Walking in New Mexico, they dish the men at Warner Brothers, and Davis, learning that Fitzgerald has never slept with the actor George Brent, quips, "Well, you're the only woman there who hasn't." Unfortunately, Davis never got to make a movie where she could show this comradely girlfriend side, but her violent screen vixens, her off-camera challenges to studio bosses, and her unimpeded belief in her own talent have helped stamp out the onerous specter of the nice girl. Davis is an inspiration to women to seize their time and all their opportunities.